Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the CollegeToPro.com NFL Draft Blast.
Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the CollegeToPro.com NFL Draft Blast.
Another edition of the C2P. I'm your host, Bo Marchant, and we are doing our first Authors on Athletes. And today we have a fantastic guest. It's Mike Leach, the head coach of Mississippi State, one of the most fascinating and successful head coaches in college football. He's going to talk about a book he wrote, and he's been the author of two books. But we're going to touch base on Swing Your Sword, and he's also wrote Geronimo, Leadership Strategy of an American Warrior. But Swing Your Sword is a book that I've always loved, I always kind of reference to. And if you're not familiar with it, Coach Leach is going to kind of take us in depth on a couple of things about it. But with that said, Coach, welcome to the show. How's today treating you?
Well, not bad. I mean, it's getting to be like Groundhog Day. You know, every day is the same, and you kind of get in a routine. And, you know, I try to make a little progress. I try to do a little reading. I try to get some exercise. I try to eat right. You know, with the additional time, I can be more disciplined on stuff I eat, so I think that does have a benefit. I touch base with family more often than I ordinarily would, and so, you know, there's been some positives to the reset, but I think, like everybody, I'm excited once things get going again.
Definitely. And I told you, you know, I didn't want to touch too much on Mississippi State, but we could go hours on you being in the head coach there and then the COVID-19, but how excited are you to kind of, you know, get the ball rolling and begin this program and building this program up as you kind of, you know, set season one under, you know, under your direction?
Well, we're really excited, and we had some off season, you know, where we got a little preview and a little taste, but we never got spring football. So we're not sure exactly where we are as a team, because in spring you can install, you know, all your scheme and strategies, and then teach technique, and then you see it all come together, and then the positions kind of define themselves, who can do what, and we haven't had that opportunity, so I think we're anxiously awaiting the time that we can do that.
Excellent. And for you, you know, we wanted to talk about Swing Your Sword, your first book of two. When did you get the idea to do this book? And when you look back at it, I mean, how happy are we with it? And were there certain things that you wish you would have brought up, or maybe some things that you didn't want to bring up?
I thought it turned out quite well. We worked on it for about a year, and it was in the works. We talked about it for a while, but then I thought it turned out pretty good. You know, we self-published it, and it made it to number 5 on the New York Times bestseller list. And, you know, one thing, they'll study, you know, why books sell as well as they do, because it sold more than athletic books usually do, sports books. And one of the reasons that they found is a lot of women read the book, and women read more books than men do. And they're, you know, they're not sure. I mean, they're searching for the kind of the secret sauce, the publisher types are. And then and they think that, you know, because it's about my, you know, kind of my start with my childhood, just sort of my path into coaching. And, you know, everybody can take an interest in a path, you know, if it's not just scores and highlights. Scores and highlights are more for the football aficionado, or, you know, the fan of a particular team. And so you know, just kind of the things that I thought about as a kid that influenced my life, that shaped, you know, the direction I ended up going. And so that was fun. And it was kind of fun to think, you know, as you do a book, you have to think about all that and revisit it. And you learn a certain amount about yourself. And then the other thing, you know, with a biography, there really aren't any sources. You're the source. So, you know, you have to come up with it. And Bruce Feldman was my co-author. And so we'd have these recorded interviews and, you know, Bruce would give me a subject and I'd tell the story. And I learned to tell a pretty good story, because if I told a good story with detail and things of that nature and a good order, I had a lot less editing to do. When I would get the transcript back, I had a lot less to change, where, you know, if I was distracted or kind of blew off the story and was all over the map, you know, then I'd create more homework for myself. A book does create a lot of homework. The discovery that you go through as you're putting together the material, this goes in, we keep this out, this clutters it up. That's always a little bit of a challenge. And so that part is exciting. The part that gets tough, and I don't know about everybody, but I have a sense that, you know, once you publish it, you know, it may as well be on your headstone, because it's not going anywhere forever. And so I try to, you know, really micromanage that. You know, is this word too strong? Is this word too weak? Is this too this? Is that too... And so as you read it about six times, you will get tired of your own book pretty fast. And there's a point to where you would like to read any book but your own. And so the six times or so going through it, editing it, rereading it, rewriting some stuff, cutting stuff out, that's the part that becomes a challenge. And both my books, I felt like I had really good editors, you know, because you get in the weeds a little bit and it'll be right in front of your nose. But if you have a good editor, they'll say, no, just move this here, or start the chapter with this, or let's cut this paragraph. And I thought they were very sharp. And, you know, I mean, well, they all agreed with me for the most part. So I guess that made it easier. But I thought I had some really good editors as we were putting it together. And then, the book tour was a lot of fun, you know, went to cities all over the country and then did some signings. I was doing a radio show at the same time and I was kind of busy, but it was exciting to meet all the people that, you know, took an interest in, you know, football and, they, you know, just kind of a challenge, you know, developing, you know, something that, you know, a lot of people could be proud of.
Definitely. Once again, Mike Leachy, head coach of Mississippi State and the author of two books, Swing Your Sword and Geronimo, kind enough to join us here on the C2P as we talk authors on athletes. I'm reading through the book, and before we end the show, I do want to touch a base on a couple of things specifically in the book. We'll get to it, but you'll know what I'm talking about when I mention Joe Kronk. And then one of the quotes, you know, the last dance with the Bulls of Michael Jordan. I know you referenced a quote from Jordan in there about the dream team, but we'll get to that to the end of the show. But when I was reading through it, and there's so many fascinating things out there, and if you folks out there listening, you know Coach Leach is a very charismatic, fascinating coach. But when you get into the book, you're going to really see so much more. And there's a lot of things that you can say heartfelt, as well as words of wisdom and some of the things you just don't know, from, you know, the baseball background into law school. There's so many things that kind of go into the man that made you today, that the guy we're talking to. But I thought, as charismatic and as fun as you are, I was thinking, what are some of the favorite places that Coach Leach loves to go to when he's on the recruiting trail, and those places you like to eat, and what's the favorite kind of food you like having when you're on the road trying to get these five-star recruits?
Well, shoot, I wish I had more five-star recruits to speak of, and a couple that I have had haven't turned out. I've had a lot of really great three-star recruits, and then, of course, I had Wes Welker, who I probably lost some stars for him at the time, but then, you know, he went to his five Pro Bowls or whatever it adds up to, and so you get really excited about, you know, seeing somebody start out at one spot and then just take off. But Well, recruiting, you see all walks of life. You see all walks of life, and then you know, you see destitute poor, you see really rich, I grew up upper middle class, and so you go to an upper middle class house and it's fine and they're good people, and you, as far as the house or something, you're kind of, yeah, so I've seen this. But you go to some place really poor, you'll see something you've never seen before. I've also been to some palatially wealthy places where they had grand pianos, they had a big old fountain and a gigantic pool, they had 70-yard, 7-on-7 field out there to work on, you know, tennis courts, you know, all kinds. So I guess the quick answer is see something that you've never seen before, and, you know, both directions. And then the other thing, you find that happiness isn't necessarily tied to one demographic. One of the happiest places I ever went was outside of, well, between Lakeland and Gainesville, there was a dirt cul-de-sac out in the country. And these people lived in literally shacks covered with sheet metal. And, you know, rugs over dirt floors and things like that. That was one of the happiest places I've ever been. I mean, there were chickens running around, the occasional goat. They had a basketball hoop set up that probably has never had a net. Kids are playing on that. They're riding, you know, a bike or a tricycle around. It's got this real sense of community. There's, you know, somebody's cooking food, giving the food to whoever comes by. You know, as they're cooking it up on the grill. It was just an extremely happy, together place. And it really does give you a certain amount of perspective. As far as food, I've had some, meals that were outstanding, you know, like gumbo or something like that comes to mind. Or this one fellow's dad, you know, cooked really good Italian food. That, of course, was outstanding. One time I had this fellow, and he was proud of it, wanted to cook for us, and I was very proud of his effort, but the food wasn't very good. And, you know, this young man didn't have, you know, a lot of guidance as far as, I think he lived with his older brother, not even a parent. And so he melts that welfare cheese. He tears up some taco shells, throws that in there, throws hamburger in there without really draining the grease, dumps some picante sauce in and stirs it up, and he says, I call it enchiladas. And I did my part, you know, I ate my share, but that was a little tough going down. The other thing is the head coach, as an assistant coach within your area, you'll know some of the greatest places to eat on earth. You know all the good places, and some of the hole in the walls are the best. Okay, as a head coach, you can only see each prospect one time, so they pass you around to the assistant coaches, and as that's happening, you're going from one assistant to the next to the next, and and you're on the move too. I mean, if you're not careful, you know, in the morning can be, you know, anything from grab a boiled egg or two at the hotel if they offer a continental breakfast, or from a 7-Eleven, beef jerky. Then I'd try to be healthy, drink cranberry juice or green tea. And then at night you'd kind of blow it out and try to go somewhere good. And, you know, it really varied by different locations and depending on how big of a hurry you were in. And I'll never forget constantly trying to figure out what's open. And, you know, there's a certain amount of that. Is it open, you know? And, it's over the river and through the woods. And, I'll tell you a great standby for lunch. And one of my favorite, as you get out west, they have a deal called Pollo Loco, which is, I would say, Well, I guess it's fast food because they make it fast, but, you know, it's really healthy for you. It's that that Mexican grilled chicken, you know, where they chop it all up, and you can either get pieces of chicken or you can get chicken tacos, enchiladas. They'll have some pretty good vegetables. So you feel like you eat pretty healthy, and it's great. I'm hungry. Just talking about it, I'm hungry for Pollo Loco. And but there's definitely some dives that are really good. From my experience, it just kind of depends where you are. I mean, like in Mississippi, I've had some gumbo and crawfish that are just off the charts. You know, in L.A., I knew, sometimes the taco trucks are the best. I'll tell you this.
Oh, yeah.
There was, and a lot of people didn't notice it, but there was this Mexican food stand, and they had all kinds of stuff. It wasn't just, you know, three items or something. They had it all, and it was right by a car wash. And you wouldn't even notice it because you noticed the car wash. That was totally outstanding. Sometimes you get to cash in on the, you know, the high-end steak stuff, you know, chasing around for seafood. I've done that before. Ideally, you try to avoid chains, but the thing is chains have a little bit of reliability as far as you knowing if they're going to be open.
Right. How about this one, Coach? Anything that you stay away from? Is there anything that you don't eat?
No, I don't like hot dogs. I don't like hot dogs. I don't like, let's see. Yeah, hot dogs would be a biggie. I guess I eat about most things. Sometimes you go to a house and they'll break out some wonderful casserole, which they think it's wonderful, but I can't say that I have 100% of the time. But then, other stuff you'll run across where, you're dying to know how they make it. And then when they tell you it's complex enough that in the back of your mind, as good as it was, you know you'll never make it. And you know that you won't effectively be able to translate the message to your wife on how it's done. And I'd say that's the biggest thing. I don't like bad pizza either. I mean, and there's a lot of places that have outstanding pizza. And so I try to avoid bad pizza. I try to avoid hot dogs. I know I won't eat hot dogs. And then, you don't want to overcarb it on these things because as you're sitting there in a car driving around, and the other thing that can be tricky is, you know, you'll have in the evening, and your visits are usually in the evening because, that's when people are off of work and out of school. They'll be in the evening. So you go to the first stop, they'll give you something to eat. You go to the next stop, they'll give you something to eat. So you go to the next stop, they'll give you something to eat. And you got to kind of anticipate just a little bit. Because otherwise you'll run out of space by the time you get to the second and third stop. And you do want to do your part because these people have worked hard to do something nice for you. And you want to be in a position where you can appreciate it, you know.
Definitely. Yeah, I hear you. Coach, we're almost out of time. And, again, I appreciate you sharing some of your day with us. You're so delightful to kind of share some of the insight and fun stuff that you've been able to talk about in terms of the recruiting trail. But in the book, Joe Kronk, you mentioned him as a kid that not necessarily was the most gifted athlete you've ever come across, but you kind of say he was the reason why you love athletics because he was a kid that, you know, you saw and you kind of put some faith in, and he delivered the big hit on the diamond when you needed it. But through your collegiate careers, are there any Joe Kronks that kind of come to your mind that stand out?
There's a lot of Joe Kronks that come through there. I mean, there's a lot of Joe Kronks. arguably our most consistent receiver last year, certainly one of them. We had three really good ones, I thought. A guy named Brandon Arcanato walked on at Washington State, and I think he had the most receptions per game in the Pac-12 last year. And he never became a burner. He was just a very elusive guy that could just get open. And I would say he was one. The list just goes on and on and on. And, I mean, we've had guys that I literally never thought could play, and then, you just have to wait it out. Keep doing the same thing, just do it better, just improve on it. And, those are the guys you really admire, their effort and their ability to stick with it and work through the disappointment,
Yeah.
But
Joe Kronk,
I was able to touch base with Joe Kronk. I did touch base with Joe Kronk and had a good conversation with him. And, he's not a big football guy, but Joe went on to box for a little while, rodeoed for a little while. And, just living life. And I don't know if Joe's memories are as fond as mine are, because, the memories he gave me would be pretty tough to beat. But, he had a good experience. And they did an article on him recently that was, very complimentary. And it was great reading the article to get a little more information on, decades later, what happened to Joe.
That's excellent. Again, and if you folks want to read more about Joe Kronk and our guest today, Coach Mike Leach, Swing Your Sword is, again, a fabulous book, fabulous read. It's going to be a quick read. If you're looking for a book that you're not going to want to put down, you're probably going to get through in a day or two. I recommend Swing Your Sword. Now, the one final one, The Last Dance, it's been on ESPN, Michael Jordan, the Bulls. I know he's also referenced in the book. You talk about the Dream Teamers, and you say, that Jordan quote where, he said, "I saw some of the Dream Teamers dogging it in practice before the Olympics. I looked over at them, and I knew this was, separated me from them." Have you watched any of it, and your thoughts if you have?
I'm looking forward to watching it. I got it on record, ready to go, because I kind of want to see it in succession. One of the things Michael Jordan did that I always admired him the most for, and it was something that he got criticized for, but I really admired it. Michael Jordan wanted to be a baseball player. And Michael Jordan, at the pinnacle of success in basketball, says, "I've always wanted to do this. I've always wanted to check it out. I'm going to try to be a baseball player." And, driving in a bus down some of those dusty roads, to play minor league baseball, I couldn't help but admire him more for accepting that challenge and, to test himself and, because, you're going to be dead in 100 years anyway. And the thing is what it's going to be is a collection of experiences, and the more great experiences you can have and learn from and enrich your life, I think the better it is. It goes without saying, I'm with everybody else, and I think he's the greatest basketball player that ever played. They have all these debates. No, he's the best one. Okay. But, the eagerness to expand, his capabilities, his abilities to test the water and something else that very few people would have had the courage to do. I really think that, that's an example to a lot of people. Forget what all the masses say, go follow your path. And that's what Michael Jordan did with regard to that.
Yeah. Well, Coach, if people read Swing Your Sword, they're going to read a story about a gentleman on our show. That is you that kind of did the similar thing. You're talking about a law school guy who had a passion for coaching. And lo and behold, you're one of the most successful coaches in collegiate football. Hey, Coach, we appreciate you always being so generous with your time and joining us on the show. But we're almost out of time. But, hey, Stay humble, stay healthy out there, and best of luck to you and those Mississippi State Bulldogs this year.
Well, I appreciate that. I'm honored to be on. Look forward to talking to you again.
Thanks, Coach. Once again, that is Coach Mike Leach, the author of Swing Your Sword and also Geronimo, two fantastic books. And we wanted to touch base on Swing Your Sword because I thought there's just a lot of things to discuss that would kind of, you know, be fun for our audience to kind of share with you. As always, we appreciate you stopping by and joining us here on the C2P.
This has been a C2P exclusive.